common electrical mistakes homeowners make.
One of the worst things about DIY electrical work is electrocution, getting a second opinion.
Which electrical upgrade?
I'd have to say solar for sure.
Hey guys, welcome to The Builder's Edge. I'm Norm Wales from Norm Wales Constructions. Now, for me, the whole purpose of this podcast here is to bring a little bit more awareness around the construction industry. I've been feeling for many, many years that there's not enough helpful information out there to support you guys to make the right choice. Now, we are a smaller family independent building company, and we're not here to build everybody's home. But we would definitely love to be able to work with you to facilitate your dream home. But if we don't build your new home, we want you to be able to make the right decision in choosing the right builder for you. So hopefully the information that I'm able to provide through this podcast can be informative and helpful that you can now create your dream home. So I hope you enjoy it and thanks for watching. So Anthony, mate, what are the common electrical mistakes homeowners make and how can they be avoided?
I think planning in the future just a little bit would be probably the best way. Mm-hmm. A good example, we did a new home and the customer said they want to maybe do a pool out the back. That's cool. We got a feed in. We got a circuit over there. Sweet. 6 months later, after the house was handed over, we're there to do the pool, and we get there and he says, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, we've got a pool heater now, and all of a sudden the single phase, single circuit supply that we've got is well and truly not enough.
Yeah.
We have to run three phase down the side of the house and, conduit and make it as good as possible, but it could have been avoided.
It is, mate. And like I guess I know from experience myself that, yes, we have come across, partly established, homes or blocks there that they're going to build a new home on.
Yep.
And if they haven't got the right infrastructure in place for what they've actually wanted, because they hadn't thought ahead of that aspect of things there, unfortunately that they've had to pay a lot of additional money because the services that are in there aren't adequate to what they've required.
Yeah. And another hard thing is that maybe they weren't given the right advice from the people that installed it. Got a bit of a cowboy in and he said, yeah, she's right. And
yeah, look, mate, you're on the money there. Like, unfortunately, there are a few Troy Dans out there that, are supposed to be qualified, sparkies, but at the end of the day, they're really not qualified. And it's got to be a really big concern, I guess, for yourself there that, running a very reputable business, doing things right, that you're coming around fixing other people's problems.
Yeah, quite often we have to fix, problems, and the hardest thing is maybe with, the Troy Dan out there, for example, he doesn't have much left in his career. Me, I'm looking at, 30, 40 years in this industry and in this area, and I don't want to fall short because of a simple lapse of responsibility, I guess.
No, very true. Can you tell me a little bit more about that there? Like you say that there's other trades out there, I guess, there that might be hanging their boots up soon. Is it fair to say that they're not necessarily doing things to code?
Yeah, I think there's a mix of definitely laziness and the she'll be right attitude. Maybe I think possibly too. I think the standards have changed and a lot has changed in, the last even 10, 15 years. In saying that, on that particular job, it was probably a bit far out, I think.
Yeah, so unfortunately, like I guess, people just aren't upskilling themselves with the current, code and, delivering the product that should be meeting code. And I guess, unfortunately, homeowners that aren't aware of what is code, they're trusting a specialist to deliver a good product and they don't know what they don't know. And unfortunately, then you'll get someone like ourselves or other reputable builders and electricians that are coming behind, and seeing what's being put in, and it's actually now you know, quite a problem, and it's got to be either replaced or severely upgraded, which
yeah.
is very expensive.
Very, very expensive. Mm. We had a situation there a couple of months ago where I was at a commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
They've just had a, well, it was well over $1 million refit. They've got this mob in, and we've gone to just add another PowerPoint in, and you know, things, just little things that got missed.
Yes.
And, you know, we've popped our head up in the ceiling, and some of the stuff we found in there was horrendous. And it's very difficult because now the end customer's in a position where I don't want to do the work to sign off on it and have to fix it. It's obviously going to be very costly to do so, and he doesn't want to have to deal with the previous customer to where it's his responsibility and liability and...
Yeah,
and his responsibility to come and fix it.
But. It's definitely a very unfortunate situation that, and a story that we often quite hear. You know,
yeah.
So yeah, like I guess then with that, like, which electrical upgrade, anything would you say would be the most significant, you know, thing to invest in to get the best return?
I'd have to say solar for sure. Solar not only offsets a lot of your power and a lot of your home, but you can get a little bit of a return back from that as well.
Yes.
You know, you can invest in more efficient appliances and things like that, but bang for buck would have to be solar. Coupled in with probably just a few changes in habits and how to optimise the living with the solar system, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a smart approach there. And like, jumping back like a little bit there, you know, how can homeowners ensure that the wiring and the safety standards are actually up to scratch without overspending?
Yeah, that can be a very difficult one for the homeowner to check. Mm-hmm. Obviously, electrical is one of the only trades that is self-assessed. We don't have a third-party inspector checking us, which, on a side note, I think probably would be good for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the customer does have concerns, I think it's probably worth getting a second opinion. I think that can just help give the customer just a second view of maybe what's happening in the house and how it's done.
And I guess like, if we're just talking just electrical, like, I guess if you're going down the building aspect, it'd be a matter of engaging the right builder that's employing the right trades and electricians to start with. But
yeah.
If it's just the electrical side of stuff there, it's really a matter of choosing that right trade and, you know, asking around a bit more, I guess.
Yep. Asking questions, I think, and yeah.
And like, how, Anthony, like, with the potential dangers that are obviously there with electrical, you know, like, it's not a small feat of any means, you know, like, you're dealing with some pretty serious stuff there. Like, the dangers of, like, your DIY electrical sort of guys out there, your Troy Dan blokes that you're talking about there, like, what are the actual potential dangers around this for the home consumer?
I'm not going to say DIY is bad, because I'll let you in on a little secret. I do electrical work at my house. But one of the worst things about DIY work is – one of the worst things about DIY electrical work is electrocution. You know – a good electrician is all over the rule book and knows his field, knows his area, and knows why we do certain things and how to do yep. certain things. The other risk is, and people don't really realise this, is warranty and insurance. If there's been DIY electrical work done in the house and it's sort of found and a problem is caused or found because of that, good luck getting insurance or getting your insurance to cover that and you know, warranties covered by.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I guess so, like, with people doing DIY electrical, like you said, yeah, you may do it, but you're lucky enough you're like an electrician, you know, but not everyone's, you know, got that skill or ability to do that. But it's a potential, like, fire safety risk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, people lose their homes
yep.
for just simple things like this. Like, you know, like, we've been on job sites ourselves that, you know, you've actually had a PowerPoint there that we're supposedly meant to plug into that has been connected with an extension lead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, you know, it's just a no-go zone, you know. Yep. So, and, you know, when it comes down to the safety of electrical, like, there should be no shortcuts whatsoever.
No, none at all. And it's, you know, you might save a call out fee, you might save a bit of markup or you know, all of that, but you're not really saving anything. You know, it's the risk, the potential, it's not worth it.
No, it definitely isn't worth the risk then, mate, that's for sure. And look, I guess, Anthony, with families choosing the right sort of lighting, you know, to create that ambience and, you know, that enjoyment in that zone or that space, what sort of advice would you give people when trying to take that approach? You know, is it down lights or pendant lights that you use? Like, how do you, like, I guess, help the customer to choose that right product?
I'd sort of just veer off a little bit. I never really considered how lighting affects mood and things like that until my wife actually brought it up. You know, just even the difference of a warm light in the lounge room or in a ambient sort of room, how that helps you relax at night, helps little things just easier, I guess. A white light to help focus in an office area or a bathroom. I like the idea of pendants and wall lights as a bit of a feature in say kitchens or entries or out the front of the house.
And sometimes, like you say too, like those wall lights could be a nice little softer light there, just in a niche or something, just to make something pop there.
Yep. Yeah, and you have the rest of the lights off in the lounge room. Leave the pendants on in the kitchen, and it a bit of warm white with some shadows sort of flow through, and it's
perfect. So I guess they're like, you know, wrapping up there a little bit, Anthony, like with the experience that you have, you know, what would be a bit of advice that you would give homeowners if they were considering, you know, doing some DIY electrical or engaging a electrician? How, you know, can they make the right choice?
Yeah, again, it can sometimes be difficult to know you're using the right person without, I guess, that experience, without seeing their work and seeing how they work, and sometimes you're just going off their word. Sometimes that can be very difficult. I think a good indicator is you know, how people present themselves. You know,
very
do
true.
They, you know, again, it's a simple thing as even I'm a big fan of how people dress or show themselves. For example, you have a tradesman rocking up in board shorts. I'm not saying they're a bad tradesman or a bad person, but it's a bad indicator of how they present.
May conduct themselves. Yep. Yeah, no, fair enough. So I guess there, mate, like, you know, a bit of advice there for homeowners, like, you know, it's really not worth taking that risk through any DIY stuff there. Like, that's a bit of a no-brainer, really. Let's, you know, be honest about that. But when it comes down to picking the right sparky, you know, for yourself there, make sure that, you know, they are a reputable, you know, business themselves, you know, present themselves well. But I guess the biggest takeaway I took away today was actually listening to your wife and understanding, you know, the ambiences and the lights and that. So I think if we all do that, we all should be in the safe zone then.
I think so. I think things would be a lot easier if we just step back a bit and listen.
No, wonderful. All right, mate. Well, just before I wrap up, just got one last question there for you.
Yep.
Okay, what have we got here today? All right, Anthony. So, mate, if you had to choose three foods to live off for the rest of your life, what would they be and why?
Oh, geez, this is
three this foods. Is
hard. For you life. Know what's? I'm not a huge fan of cooking, so what's easy to cook and prepare?
Steak, eggs,
maybe a bit of salad. I think would just be a nice little staple diet. I think.
perfect. So steak, eggs, and a little bit of salad.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Love it. All right, Anthony. Always a pleasure, mate.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Cheers, buddy.